the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman and the Approaching the Natural podcast, my weekly podcast where I come to you each week to deliver ideas, sometimes news, sometimes different ways of thinking about things, all related to how to live better in the modern world, how to negotiate a very unnatural world as a natural being. And I do believe we all still at our heart of hearts are natural. I believe that we have still in us the natural inclinations to be healthy, to be happy. I think those are part of our design. That is a premise I work from. Then I say, okay, given those two things, our drive to be happy and our drive to be healthy, how can we achieve more of those in a world that is in many ways designed for us to be neither? And I do that via my unique brand of small steps. And I come here each week as a somewhat of a reminder, somewhat of, you know, hopefully educational at times, to just kind of set you on a path every week to keep on keeping on. And I think that's been fairly successful along the way, and I hope that's the case. And if not, then man, what have we all been doing? Anyway, so if you're just joining me for the first time, welcome, and I'm glad you're here. Give it a shot. Go back and listen to some old episodes, and I do urge people to, anybody, to go back and listen. There are all independent episodes in this way. None leads into the next one. You know, like, you don't, it's not like the 110 is the sequel to 109. You know, like, you're just like, yeah, I didn't get 110. I got to go back and see 109. And it reminds me of an Onion headline I read years ago that was like, Major League 2, surprisingly easy to follow without having seen Major League 1. Anyway, so it's sort of like that. Okay, how do you find me? You asked. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, all those places, Sid Garza Hillman. I mean, the fact of the matter is you can do the Google and just Google my name and a lot of stuff will come up, even some weird things like movies that I used to be in. And so that's how that goes. And then you can go to SidGarzaHillman.com, and that's my main website. You can find out about me, all things about me, and me as a private health coach, certified nutritionist. You can donate to this podcast. You can get t-shirts, mugs, and WWID, what would I do, bracelets, et cetera, et cetera. On that note, I just did want to thank a couple of people who came out this week and sent me a donation to the podcast, which is great. I really do appreciate your support. That's not a joke. It takes time, but it's free, and that's always will be. But if you feel like, hey, I want to kick them some stuff, that's great. Okay, that really helps. And there's other ways to support this podcast if you're a fan, and that is by throwing down an iTunes review or just telling somebody else about it. You know, go check that guy out. That's all that. How long will that take? 2 seconds? That's the ultimate small step. Okay, good. I work for the Stanford Inn, and I head up their wellness center, and I just realized that I did not bring in with me the dates, but there are dates. The vegan, sorry, but that's the word that we used on this particular retreat, not on this podcast, but that's what that is. Running retreats. There's three of them this year. I think March, June, and October. With Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete. If you are interested in that, go to stanfordinn.com. Those will be up on the website, or you can email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, and I can send you the flyer with the pricing and what it includes. It's like 4-night stay and all meals and runs with Matt and me and a talk by me and a talk by Matt and a welcome gift, and I'm just super excited about that. There are also cooking intensives and also healthy living retreats with yours truly. But also some of these things, like the cooking retreats, also include a gardening class, which is like super cool, and a nutrition class with me. So there's just a bunch of stuff like that going on. Okay, stanfordinn.com. Got it? Good. I will be at the Portland Veg Fest. Boy, I've been announcing this thing for a while, and now it's there. It's like a week away or 2 weeks away. I don't know if you guys saw my video early on. I think it's like number 4 on my YouTube channel, and that's not by ranking. It's just the 4th video of a trip that I took with my dad to Colorado last year, and it's called Why We Take Care of Ourselves, and we're going again this year, and it's pretty cool. My dad's had a little bit of some health issues in terms of really just like soreness and some sciatica, you know, inflammation kinds of things going on. But he's been on the mend in a very cool way. And yes, I've been helping him a little bit and kind of coaching him through this stuff. And he's really come a long way, which is super cool because we were kind of biting our nails about whether he was going to be on the up and up for this trip, but he is. So I'm super looking forward to that. That's next week. That's not, you know, I'm not saying go to Colorado and see me. I'm just saying that. And then I come back and a mere 3 days later, 4 days later, I jump on an airplane to fly to Portland. And that's what I'm announcing right now. The Portland Veg Fest, the Northwest Veg Fest. It's what it is. nwveg.org/vegfest. If you go to the website, nwveg.org/vegfest, you will now see the schedule of speakers, and I'm speaking twice. I wasn't totally sure that I was doing that, but I am, according to that schedule, and I also don't know what I'm talking on. They've announced the subjects of most of the other speakers. No, not most. Like half of the other speakers have what their talk is on. Not mine. So I better study, because if they have me talking on, butter coffee, I'm not going to be, I haven't done this research on that. I just know it's bad. And it's something to be afraid of. More on that in a minute. Just a mind-blowing email today. Given the state of the world, it wasn't that mind-blowing. It was like, holy, yeah, okay, I can see that. I'll be at Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd. Got a nice, I don't know what it was, Instagram tweet, something or other from somebody who's going to see me over there. So make your way over there. I got to figure out travel arrangements for that. Really glad I'm thinking out loud on the podcast. Let's get into this a little bit. I mean, I've got a few things to talk about. You think I don't, but I do. I'm going to harp a little bit on the dial back day. And here's why. It's starting to take, I got a few people kind of jumping in on this finally. It's because I've been relentless and consistent in my use of the hashtag, in the sense that I used it for the second time ever today, which is cool. But I did get some cool feedback and people are diving in, checking it out. And so I'm on one today. My Mondays seem to be shaking out. It's just sort of like the podcast day. I don't really sit down for dinner with my wife because, we sort of come home. Well, she works from home. But anyway, I come home and we hang out with the kids and then I go in and do the podcast and she usually gets some more work done. And so it's not like a dinner day. So it's a perfect day for me because I feel like I'm missing less on this day. Okay. And I don't really like to eat late generally if I can avoid it, because just the way that my body susses that out. If anybody clued into that just now and was like, okay, I got to stop eating late. Don't sweat it. But all things being equal, since it's all about, for me as a nutritionist, I'm talking now mostly in the nutrition physical world, maximizing digestion, maximizing the ability for the body's ability to process and get the nutrients out of the food. Yes, all things being equal, it'd be great if we ate, in the evening and then allowed our bodies a couple hours to sort of get that stuff going on before we go to sleep. I find in my own life and also with clients that, over time, if I can small step into ways where they're not eating so late, I've had clients where just given what their schedules are, they end up eating at 10 o'clock at night and their bodies definitely, have a blowback a little bit on that. It's like a really late time to eat and then they get in bed and the body's like, I don't sleep yet. I got to do the, it's okay. And then it's sort of undigested. That's a big problem. So I will tell you that in general, on when I used to not do the dial back days, which wasn't that long ago, I would eat later on the podcast days because I'd sort of get my podcast going on Monday night and then come out and eat, and I would always feel sluggish the next day. Just in general, I would. So for me, this is a good day. The lesson here is that if you decide to take this on for yourself, think about those things in your life. Think about, well, here's a day that I could do that. Or here's a, like I talked about last week, like, is there a partial dial back? Is there just a dial back action? It doesn't have to be a whole day. That's just kind of where I'm at. If you saw my Instagram this morning, I posted the arsenal of fruit on my counter. I won't get through all that, by the way. I got through most of it, I would say, but definitely not all of it. There was a ton. But like I've said, I wasn't hungry for a second today, just boom. had a moment at work at the inn as I was leaving, and there was all this food out. They made pizza for the staff, and I was just like, man, do I need to get out of this room ASAP. And here's what I got from that little interaction in my brain. I was going to remark on this. The me of the me, not me game. So there's two, just in general, if you've been following this podcast for the last couple months, you know, I revisit the me, not me game because if you haven't played it yet, freaking play it. Just try it. It's astounding to me. And I know to some people because I'm getting emails. It's astounding to me the power of this thing to check in during any given day on the who you are is a mind blower. I realized two things. One, how helpful that is, how much it minimizes stress, and how also, number two, how I never, ever, ever did that before. And that's the, like, I was like, wow. I mean, day to day, never. I mean, yes, you know, you have times where you sort of contemplate and have a moment to yourself and, you know, you're kind of, you can assess, but to build this level of assessment, to build this level of attention into your life in a way that you don't have to change like nothing. Like I've said before, like most people don't know you're doing this. It's not an upset. It's not like, kids, sorry, mom's going away for a month to think, you know, and that's, if you got to do it, do it. But day to day for most of us that are working our asses off, you know, this to have that luxury, and that is a luxury, by the way, and it's very, very expensive to be able to, oh wait, no, it's freaking free. It's free and it's for everybody. I don't care how busy you are. I just don't care how busy you are because there's no excuse for this. Okay. There's no excuse. You don't have to do it, but it ain't a time issue because it is literally a 30 second. Everybody's sitting on a subway at some point or in a car at some point or just about to go to sleep. And you've got 30 seconds to just bounce in there and me not me it for 30 seconds. I'm telling you guys, if you can give it a shot. Okay. That and the dial back day has been a really good combination for me and my clients to sort of just reset the clock throughout the day. The me gets me through the dial back day. I mean, that's what is happening. The dial back day has not been without struggle. I keep every week thinking, okay, this one I'm going to skate through. Today, most of the day, I was like, this is easy. There's no problem. Like, I just was working. I was drinking my banana shakes. I had a bunch of fruit in the morning on the way before my run. Had a nice run. I was like, totally easy peasy. And then I walked into the restaurant right before I left at the inn, and I went, hoy crap. That was the hard thing. But what got me through in that quick moment was this flash of me. And it was like, because what I realized is that I'm a nutritionist. I know food. You guys, if you followed me or bought my book, you know, or watched my videos, you know, my heavy box, light box way of thinking about food. Most of the time is heavy box. I mean, overwhelmingly, most of the time is heavy box. I mean, I've kind of dialed that in over the last few years, you know, and I've been feeling good. So I sort of got that going. And I realized like how fast, if it were just about the food, if it were just about the dial back day was just about the health of food. Well, in 2 seconds, I could talk myself out of a fruit only day because fruit's awesome, but so is my big freaking salad. My big freaking salad's awesome and I love it. And it's more enjoyable for me to eat that than it is to eat fruit. So in the nutritional realm, in 2 seconds, I'm talking myself out of the big freaking salad. In fact, I'm talking myself out of the pizza at the Stanford Inn tonight was healthy. It had a ton of veggies on it. It was whole wheat crust. Like it was, it's like amazing. It had a jalapenos on it. I mean, it was like really hard for me to freaking walk away from that bad boy. But why did I walk away from it? If it were about food, I didn't need to walk away from it at all. I mean, it's healthy. I would come home and have a big salad. I walked away from it because it wasn't me. Not today. I mean, other days, it's totally me. I mean, other days, it's totally me. But today, it ain't me. Today, it's me getting through this. Today, it's an invitation, you know. It's this little mini battle, the way that I look at it, and please don't jump to the willpower discipline thing or the sort of, you know, like beating yourself into submission. It is in a way, it's a battle between the not me and the me. That does exist for me. It's the cravings. It's this like, I don't want to talk myself out of stuff. I want to know that I can set a plan, a dial back day, and stick to that thing because, like I've said before, I know that I'm going to feel better for doing it. I know I'm going to be happier for doing it. I like these battles that are not gargantuan. They don't take a lot out of me, and I can beat, I can win. I can win them. And I like setting myself up for success. If I couldn't get through this level of dial back day, I would change it until I could, until I could create something and craft something that I could get through. You want to know why? Because I want to set myself up for success. I don't want to fail and then go, oh, I couldn't make it when it was unrealistic for me to do so. And that's why I've said 1,000 times it's not about the fruit, because most people that I work with or know, the idea of doing fruit all day is too much. I mean, it's too much. Like, you know, like the idea of me doing fruit 2 days a week is not doable. I'm telling you right now, it ain't doable. I did a water fast years ago. Don't ever. I think I've talked about it before, maybe many a moon ago on this podcast, but freaking miserable. We were going to go through 3 days, my wife and I, have a water fast. I've been doing some reading on it and researching and water fasting, and it is amazing. And there's places like True North in Santa Rosa that, you know, physician supervised, you know, multi-day. I mean, I'm talking about like sometimes 30 days of water, and but they're testing you. But from what I've read, you know, 3 days is doable, and it's generally safe unless you have some serious health issues, in which case, I wouldn't recommend it no matter what. But I did it. So I did it because I sort of guinea pig. But I only made it 2 days because it was like so miserable. And the weird thing about it was I wasn't even hungry. I mean, after the first day, like I woke up the next day and I wasn't hungry at all. I was tired for sure, fatigued, but I didn't feel hungry. It was very odd situation to be in, this kind of like haven't had food, only water, and not feeling any kind of hunger. That was a very, very peculiar environment in my brain to be in. What got me out of it is that I had a freaking 2-year-old kid who I was feeding. Don't ever do any kind of thing like when you have to feed a kid. You know, I'm like spooning food into her mouth and I'm like literally about to steal food from my baby. That's not healthy. So anyway, I did that. That was too much of a dial back. Didn't make the 3 days. Failed. Why? Because that's not realistic for me at that time of day, you know, of my life rather. And I wouldn't do it now either. And I have no reason to do, and this is the thing, I would do it if I had a motivation such that that would serve a purpose for me in terms of making me feel better and in terms of making me adding something to my life. So again, to reiterate, the dial back day is about, really, it's about bringing into things into your life via dialing back from other things. And so it's sort of like this. It's like today, given that I'm just eating fruit all day, and what I've done is essentially devalued food to where it's like I don't have any prep time on it. I don't have any cleanup. I'm just eating. It tastes fine, but it's not like there's no cravings around the food. Like I'm not right now going, man, I wish this podcast were over because I want to get back in there and attack that pear. You know, it's not like that. But what it does is gives me a moment. And by the way, it does free up a lot of time because there's no prep and no cleanup. It also gives me a moment of pause to consider, involuntarily, I might add, what other non-food things in my life give me pleasure. When there's no meal to look forward to and pay attention to and think about and you know, just like ponder what's coming. I can't wait for this next meal. I can already taste it. It's more time with my kids. It's better time with my kids and my wife. It's coming in the door and going, my brain's not there. And it also makes me realize how much I think about food, by the way, and that could be me. But, you know, my father to death. I'm going to Colorado with him for crying out loud. But what he does, it's just what it does. And I do the same thing, but it's like when we travel, we're like, okay, we're going to land at 2:45. Okay. So that means we can get a coffee at 3:45. We'll get a debt to debt. Then we got dinner at 5. It's always like meal to meal. It's like, that's our itinerary. It's always been. And it seems on that surface that my dial back day is to sort of beat myself up and, you know, beat myself into submission to not do that. But to me, it's an acknowledgement of that I want to feel good. It's an acknowledgement that I want pleasure. And it's an acknowledgement that there's other ways for me in my life to get pleasure. Or worse, there's no other way for me to get pleasure. In which case, I freaking need a day to consider why that is, right? I kind of want a day to go, really? You can't have fun without a meal? That without food, there's nothing in my life that's fulfilling and pleasurable that I can't have food you know, that's food's not a part of. That's not the case. It's just not the case with me, thank goodness. But I'd like to kind of know if it were. And again, sometimes, and I'll put this way, a lot of times, coming up against that kind of information can be troubling. And so I really can't stress enough to ease your way into these things via my small step approach, so that your dial back day might be a dial back 5 minutes. It might be a dial back, you know, reading a book for a minute on one day a week when, you know, you usually you come home and flip on the TV and you crack a beer, you kind of like, you know, engage in a different way. It's to say, are there other ways or calling a parent or calling a friend or calling a loved one? To me, it's about the dialing back of a habit. It's about saying, well, in a minimal way, for me, it's a day, but again, for you, it's whatever works for you. I'm going to dial back this habit just here, just for a moment, because I want to see if there's things that I'm not attending to, if I'm so reliant on my routine and so reliant on my habit that I can't even see the other stuff in my life that is maybe just as equally, you know, valuable to me. That's amazing. How easy it is for us to be swept up by unhealthy behavior. And for me, dialing it back now and then is a way to just, like I've said, reset the clock. And I was remembering this when I was writing my notes for today's episode, but I was remembering this when we moved, when my wife and I, so basically we lived in Los Angeles for 20 years and went to UCLA, so did my wife, and we graduated and stayed on, and I started, you know, working at audiovisual department at UCLA, and I was an indie rock musician, and I started getting acting work and ended up quitting my job and becoming a full-time actor. That's the short story of my bio there. And after 20 years in LA, finally we'd had it, and we were just like, we want to get out of here. We want to live in not LA. It's like not LA. People are like, was it a shock to live in your little town? And I was like, nope, we were ready to go. At the same time, we didn't really research where we were going. We kind of showed up in this little town, and it's like this little, kind of a crappy little town, to be honest. I mean, I love it, but it's kind of crappy. And it's on the Mendocino Coast, and it's basically called, well, Mendocino and Fort Bragg. And I live in Fort Bragg. And we got here, and we didn't know a single person. We had an 18-month-old daughter. And we showed up here and we were excited. And then there was this moment where we were like, what the hell did we just do? That was the weirdest and most just left our best friends and just like, what the? And there was a period of like 3 months where we were having some work done on our house and just like hadn't moved in yet. We were living out of a suitcase. And I put on 30 pounds. I was at 205. I'm 175. And I was at 205. And it was this trigger of like this, what did we do? The stress of this, the just sort of the overwhelming change all brought up. I mean, the ultimate non-small step, right? It was just like, I got here on a Monday, had never been in this town. And by Friday we had like, we were ready to move. Like we didn't really research stuff. Fine. It turned out great. But at the time I went, oh my God. So we were just every day, just movies and bad takeout food and just like trying to just push the shock down into the nether regions. Like let's keep that down there so we can be raising our child in some sort of semblance of order. I do remember at some point, it was about 2.5 months into that process of Numino. That's where my Numino Oreo thing happened. That's when that happened. If I've talked about it before, if you're just joining me, go back and listen to old episodes. I have a problem with Numinos. I'm the first one to admit it, but that's when that started, because it was like, yeah, let's get another pack of those and have those around the house and eat those for zero reason at all other than that they're there. So there I was at 205, and I remember one day finally after about 2.5 months of just getting, I said, I gotta go for a run. Like I hadn't done any this is long before I ever did nutrition like at all, and you know, knew enough about it kind of thing, but hadn't gone back to school. And I just left my door one day. I just got out of my house and said, I got to run. And I think I ran for like a mile. And I was like, I felt this overwhelming need. It's like, I can't, we had just gotten to this really dark place and we got out of it. Thank goodness. But it occurred to me in this dial back process that I'm doing now, how easy it is for us to just me, but I think human beings in the modern world, because it's so easy to do this. Again, this is the choice we shouldn't really have about food, but we do. And in the wild, I wouldn't have the numino problem because there would be no numinos. So it wouldn't be like, I'd be like, ah, numinos or berries? Ah, let me see. And and so there was that choice. And the trigger, excuse me, around that choice, the stress of being in a place where we didn't know anybody, the stress of second-guessing ourselves and going, what the hell did we just do? That was just enough for us to both, my wife and me, to both be pushed into this. And I don't mean that something else pushed us. We took it there ourselves because there were things that were just triggering us to just go down that hill. And it was crazy, you know, looking back on it. It was just like this kind of weird place of just dark. I mean, I remember it as being dark. I remember it being a dark time. But we're, you know, we're long past that. And it's never been like that again. You know, and for whatever reason that happened, and it wasn't like, I've got to get disciplined. It was like, I'm not, like we both realized, like we got to get our lives together. That's a tough decision to make. It's a tough decision to know that your life maybe isn't together. And that's why I urge everybody to really take to heart what I talk about here every week in terms of the way you approach change in your life, because so easily, the stress of the modern world can send us down a path. And that is how we wake up at 40, you know, severely unhealthy and severely overweight. It's not an overnight thing. And to expect that we can undo that overnight is unrealistic. I think at best we can expect to try a plan or a program or a system that allows us to gain back over time what we lost over time. I think that's a reasonable way of approaching this. And I think to expect a quick turnaround from a years and years worth of behavior pattern is totally unreasonable and totally setting yourself up for failure, because it's not possible, frankly. And so it's just a matter of assessing really how fast you can do this. And again, some people's small steps are huge because their motivation is pretty darn big, but the steps they undertake are relatively to them low stress, just like your small step, which is maybe smaller than theirs, is also relatively stress-free. Okay. So moving on. So that's the dial back day. And one more thing I want to add about that is it doesn't have to be food. I mean, remember that dial back day can be a lot of stuff. Dial back day can be, like I mentioned, the movie thing. It can be, you know, maybe you take 2 hours of your day and you put your phone down. Maybe that's how you dial back, like a day that you're maybe not that busy anyway. And so you learn what it's like to not have your phone on you. I mean, that's a big constant thing for me personally, is this thing of having the phone on me all the time and checking my email and checking my, and there's times where I'm making an effort in small ways, not on my dial back day, but in small ways to say, okay, the phone's going to go into the other room. And really trying to deal with that. And again, it to maybe to an outsider looks like restriction. To me, it's saying not I'm putting the phone down, but I'm looking for other things now to fulfill me during this time. I'm looking for other things that I know are there, but that I'm not attending to. And that's the amazing part of this process for me. So hashtag dial back day. Boom. Okay. You know, it's forced me to have fun in other ways. Okay, I'm enjoying sitting here with my mushroom coffee, and recording my podcast. Okay, I'm doing this fine. How do we set ourselves up every now and then to actually realize that we're kind of okay and we're having fun in the moment, and there doesn't have to be food involved? And this doesn't apply to everybody, but it does to me, and it does to some people, and I would say lots of people. Okay, got it. Because we've got food that makes us high, guys. We've got food that gets us high in ways that never would in nature, and that's a thing we got to grapple with when we walk out our door or stay in our kitchen for most of us. Okay. I got an email from a client who I worked with a few months ago, and I asked her if I could share her story, and she said yes. There's a few things going on with her that are freaking amazing, and I wanted to share that with you. We spent a month together, I think twice over the last couple years. You know, she did it, and then she jumped back in with me. The second time really kind of, she got it. She was like, okay, on the way. And she's big. She's doing the thing. Like, she's got the small steps list. She's doing the whole deal. If you remember when I talked about sort of unsolicited remarks from people who are going to tell you how much better you should be doing and how much faster you should be doing this. That was in reference to her because she's been getting this from people. Who's she not asking? It kind of culminated in a trainer that she, like a gym, like getting mad at her. And that this has happened, by the way, before. Like some trainers are just like, you know, there's like, it's like military. And so that happened. And that's not appropriate, in my opinion. And again, what I realized in that situation was the trainer's goal with her was weight loss. But that's not her goal. So he was going to just beat her into submission and scream at her and yell at her that he could do it faster and if he was in control. But do what faster is my question. And that would be weight loss, but not making her happy faster. And that's what she's after. Okay. The fact of the matter is I could also yell at my clients and I could, you know, beat them into submission. I could guilt them. I could instill fear about them and I could probably get pretty rapid weight loss and all their friends would say how great they look. And my God, what are you doing that you lost that much weight that fast? And they probably would even be eating healthy food because I'm a nutritionist and I would say, here's what you eat. And they would be stressed about it, but their bodies would probably lose weight at least to a certain extent and they'd get great feedback. And then they would gain it all back and they would definitely not be happier as a result of the process. That ain't my bag. Okay, so this is the culmination of this email, which is just like amazing for two reasons. But she wrote me an email. She goes, no results, my ass. She's lost 10 pounds in like 9 weeks. So on top of all this stuff, she actually realizes that she has lost weight. So two awesome things about it. Ready? Number one, she's actually lost weight. Number two, it's the secondary thing. She didn't even know. He was emailing me saying how she was getting this process, becoming happier, taking control of her life. She was frustrated that people were weighing in on it and telling her things she wasn't asking about, but it was because she was doing it. She knew that she was in this zone. She was getting it done. She was feeling good. She was seeing not only the value of the steps, but the value of the process. She got it. And then after the criticism that it wasn't happening fast enough, she realized it's freaking happening. It's also like the weight loss, which is one of the things that she wanted out of this process. And it's happening, but it's just hilarious because that's what everybody's telling her she should be doing faster. But she's doing it amazing. That's a huge amount of weight loss in 9 weeks. I'm sorry, but that's huge. I mean, my expectation, all things being equal, is 1 to 2 pounds a month. That's amazing for me with clients. And again, I'm not even going for weight loss with clients. Not even going with weight loss. Okay. I got another question, and that was where church fits in, okay? Somebody was like, what about church? Like, is that part of the thing? Like, can that be a useful tool, okay? Here's my response to that, and if this is a surprise to any of you, I will be very surprised. Everything is on the table for what makes you happy and what makes you feel good. And what makes you get healthier via you feeling good and being happy. Everything is on the table, especially something, anything that provides peace, strength, support, confidence, mitigation of fear, whatever that thing is for you, it's on the freaking table. There's nothing that I don't want for any of you that does those things. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it looks like. Anything that you walk in and out the door feeling more like you and that you use up that time in a way that is you, so that crowds out the time where all these things are swirling in your brain, where you're beating yourself up and making yourself feel bad about yourself and telling yourself what a failure you are, but you fill it in with anything, church or otherwise, game, that's it. That's the thing. Of course. Whatever brings you closer to you is the thing. It's the small stepper's way. It's putting everything on the table. I did an episode. I was like, what's on your table? It's because everything's on. It's part of what I dealt with in that episode was gathering the strength of over time of being able to look at your life in a way that you've never looked at before. And sometimes that's even painful things and coming to terms with the things that you're in conflict about. But also it's like everything's on the table in terms of solutions to these problems or situations, right? Solutions to these situations. Whatever works for you. And I am 100% behind whatever works for anybody. I want to be very clear about that. That's why I don't put steps into people's mouths. I don't say you're going to do this step and then you're going to do that step and then you're going to do that one. And that one you're going to increase every week. You're going to increase that by 2. And that one you're going to decrease by 1. Then you're going to increase in 3 weeks by 5. That's taking you out of the equation, isn't it? That's taking you out of the equation. Diets take you out of the equation. DVD quick fix, you know, whatever DVD plans, Beachbody, blah, blah, take you out of the equation. I'm putting you in the equation. It ain't necessarily the most pleasurable thing to be stuck in the equation, but it's the only thing that works. You're part of the equation. But with you and listening to this podcast, and you're not on your own, and by the way, via things like church and things that are social and things that I've talked about in my book, the social network, the things that, you know, you get strength and support from your social network, from your tribe. Going through these things with them, you're not alone, but you're so part of the thing. You're not removed. You're not like, do this for me. You're not like, tell me what to do. You're like, I'm doing this and I've got you guys as a safety net to help me through this process. I hope that's what this podcast is for. It's certainly what my job is with private clients. That's the whole thing. Okay, moving on. This is going to blow your mind. Two things are going to blow your mind, but not blow your mind. I taught a recent class, really nice lady, and she was having some pretty heavy-duty stuff. She has gotten the most nutty nut-nut. I hope this is not... anyway, she's gotten the most nutty... I have to mention this. She's got the most nutty nut-nut advice from a doctor and a nutritionist, by the way. And that is to eat animal crackers. And the only reason I mention this is because I did a video on animal crackers. If you see my my good source of calcium video. And she came to take a class with me because I think her head was about to explode. She had gotten so much I think it's misinformation, but neither here nor there, because maybe they're right and I'm wrong. Maybe animal crackers are the new butter coffee, because the butter coffee is the new butter coffee. So I don't even know what's newer than butter coffee, but maybe it's animal crackers, okay? I know that the Paleolithic era, they have definitely found remnants of animal crackers from 250,000 years ago. Well, that's astounding. Little circus box still there, just little remnants, but they were able to, through an electron microscope, to just see that lion, and then they could see the high fructose corn syrup. Totally amazing, the technology we have. Thank God we've got that research money. So my point is that they could be right and I'm wrong, but the thing is they could, remember when I said I could beat my clients into submission and I could guilt them and instill fear. I could also confuse the crap out of them. I could do that. I could try to confuse you guys, or I could clarify. And what I said to her was, which I say to everybody I teach, is the reason why I don't sell nutritional stuff, and it's not like I'm opposed to other people doing it. The reason I don't is because you can agree or disagree with me, but I don't want you to disagree with me because, or I'll put it this way. I don't want you to say, he's got a really good point, but then he was trying to sell me the thing that he was talking about. I don't want that. I mean, I would know that I was honest in my brain, but I don't want somebody else to have that perception of me to say he sounded good, but then he tried to sell me the bottle of B12 that he was talking about that I should take. And so I recommend and send a link to people with B12, which is what I did to her. And again, she can disagree with me, and I ask her and hope that everybody I ever have ever taught, if they have doubts about it, to look into it themselves. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people question I get questioned a whole hell of a lot more than MDs get questioned. And to me, it's like, I think everybody should question. I don't think anybody should not question me. I just think when somebody recommends something, I think it's good to be educated about stuff. I think it's good to know the ups and the pros and cons of any sort of act in that way. Neither here nor there. I did explain my heavy box, light box thing. I went pretty deep into the things that she was going through personally, and I'm not going to share those here. But I think based on an email I got after, she said that that made sense to her. And that makes me feel really happy. And she would had already taken a step that day. Already, one day later, had already done something for herself that was taking control of her life. It's amazing to me when that happens. And it happens a lot. And I love it. And it's so inspiring for me. Okay. So the animal crackers is the one mind blower. The second mind blower was an email I got today from a listener who I think follows me on Instagram. She sent me a link to an article. This is excellent. I haven't even emailed her back. I just got it today and I was deep into the stuff I'm doing. Mushroom coffee. So the link she sent me to, and I don't think it's a joke. I mean, it wasn't a joke, at least for this email. I think in the article, but somebody in the article said they thought it was a joke, but it's really not. But there's somebody who's developing a beer that's high protein. They're putting whey protein in the beer as a way to like a recovery in a sense of a recovery drink. A whey protein beer. Putting whey protein in beer. Beer with, I'm trying to say it like eight different ways, so you can just be like, holy crap, like eight different ways. Just crap of holiness. So whey protein. Lest you think that's nutty, because it is. We have a horse. Did I mention that? We have a horse, and she's a deer. She's a totally sweet horse. My wife's cousin gave her to us. I've been building the fence. The fence is looking awesome. But man, would I love a day not to build that fence on my weekend. She's a little older. She's 19. And you're going to go, God, he's going to start talking about a horse now on the podcast. Can you just give me a second here? It's episode 110 for crying out loud. Okay. We've been looking into some things to give her because she has a slight arthritis. She's a 19-year-old horse. She's doing okay, but we've been looking into options. There is a plentiful amount of things you can give a horse that have whey protein in the things that you're giving to a horse. Whey protein from cow's breast milk that's given to a horse, an adult horse. But here's the other nutty nut. My wife, in researching this, there's actually people out there who are supplementing their horses' diets with whey protein to up the protein content of the horse's meal. I'm speechless. They're adding whey protein to horse food. Got to bulk up. Got to get that. Because as if horses aren't muscular enough on the plants that they eat. God forbid. They got to just bust in the whey protein. It's happening. Human beings are so out of our element. We are so, in most cases, out of our just brains with confusion and fear that we are making decisions now about, and have been for years, about other species that are just as nutty nut as the decisions we're making about our own. It's just... Oh, anyway, beer whey protein. I think it's excellent. I mean, hey, if you can drink beer and also get more musculature, I mean, we all need more protein. Forget about the fact that the body recycles it when it's doing its job well and it doesn't need protein for energy. But hey, you know what? Hey. Okay. So as just crazy and horrible as that is, and the animal cracker thing as just crazy and horrible, the subject of this week's episode, I think you'll find this perfect, is everything is fine. Now, is everything fine? Is everything fine? Probably not. Why would I title the subject of this episode or of this show? I never refer to this podcast as a show, but I'm doing it right now because it's freaking my podcast. The subject of this week's show is everything is fine. A couple things going on here. One is I thought, you know what? I'm 110 episodes in here. Okay, and I'm talking about small steps every week, and I'm talking about the me, not me game, and essentially, I'm talking about stuff that is hopefully making you realize what I've said 1,000 times, which is that you do have this strength already in you. It's there already in you. It's just a matter of peeling away the things that we've grown up with, the years of behavior that sometimes was instilled in us when we were, you know, younger than a point that we could make these decisions for ourselves. And so... the strength is in you. It's there. And I'm hoping this podcast helps peel those things away to get you to the point where the decision about your life are yours and not the six-year-old you who was told that you were stupid, if that was the case. And you may have been stupid. No, I'm totally kidding. Stop already. Stop. My point is that I thought 110 episodes in, I'm thinking to myself, I want to do a little bit of a good news episode. But again, I'm talking about the power you guys have, the strength you guys have. I hope that this is, hopefully, I got another email today from a really nice woman, and she donated to the podcast. And so I sent her a thank you email, and she wrote back and said she was doing, quote, minuscule steps. Do you know, that's like the best, when you write me and say if she wrote and said, I'm taking on huge shifts in my life, I'd be like, dang. She wrote, I'm making minuscule steps. Do you know the power of that? Do you know? I hope you do. If you heard this podcast, you know the power of that. I love the word minuscule. I should have called myself the minuscule step advocate, but it's just a little bit of a tongue twister. But how great is that? I'm doing minuscule steps, she says. And I go, I can't improve that. I can't even weigh in on that. It's so freaking perfect. And it's because that it's because of this power that is in all of you. And I thought, I'm just titling this, Everything is Fine. And here's what I mean. Of course, our lives are in need of improvement, most of us. And I don't ever want this podcast to dwell on the things that are wrong, but certainly I want you to be aware of the trappings of the modern world such that you can negotiate the world better. But the world isn't that awesome in terms of what it offers us in terms of ways that we can be healthier and happier. I mean, it's just not. I mean, it's not, you know, the way that our food system is, the way that in America and in US anyway, in the United States, the way that subsidies, you know, the foods that's cheaper to eat are the foods that are light box. I mean, it's not designed, there's no conspiracy theory here. It's just what it is. I don't even know. I don't care. It's a waste of my time to try to figure out why that is, other than to say, it's just, I wish it weren't that way. The good news, the reason why everything is fine is because deep down in all of us is the ability for us to negotiate this world better than we do as a species. It's there. The good news, the everything is fine thing is when we just realize for a second that everything is fine, we got it. But it's getting to that point. That's the difficulty with me and my job, by the way, as a private coach and working with clients is getting people to understand that regardless of where they are in terms of their own health and happiness at the time that they're deciding to take this on, the good news, the reason why this is a good news episode is because they're coming to me because they already know that they want change. And I think deep down know that they can get it, because if they didn't, if they thought they couldn't, they wouldn't try. I mean, there's hope in them. That means everything's fine. I got you. Okay, everything's fine. I go, everything's fine. You came to me. Now we can get work done. I wanted to talk about really quickly is this idea of learned helplessness. I think the depression or the sadness or the feeling of being trapped in the modern world is a learned helplessness. It's a learned helplessness because so much of what the modern world offers us leads us to believe that we are helpless, that there's nothing we can do about our situation at any given time. And in fact, diets, ironically, seemingly a way out of our health issues or being overweight, et cetera, teaching us helplessness. They're teaching us helplessness because they're setting us up for failure. And so when we repeatedly diet or repeatedly do something that we fail at, we do on some level understand, I just can't change my situation. I mean, I've tried repeatedly, and I just can't change. I just can't lose the weight. I just can't do it. I've tried repeatedly. And we keep trying the very things that don't work. Of course we learn helplessness. Of course we learn helplessness, because there's, in some ways, like our jobs, all these kind of modern world things, they make us feel that we are in this situation and that we can't get out of. Society and marketing feeds into this belief and how much we can't help. And the thing is some things we can't help. But the focus of this podcast is that's fine. Everything is fine because we can focus on the things that we aren't helpless about. And more of the things that make us happy and healthy in the modern world, we're not helpless about. I mean, the fact of the matter is we have access to more things that can make us healthy and happy very easily, most of us in the modern world, more than we think we do. When we actually go, you know what, I don't need that, everything's fine, I got it, we realize how little, like I've said before, how little we need to make us happy and to make us healthy, how little we need. Some things make us, so I've got a new book proposal. Okay, I crafted a new book proposal and I just started sending it out. And of course, just immediate rejections. Like there's always just like, no matter what, there's never, if I get a publisher to pick this book up, it's not like it'll ever be in the first five. It's just random. But for some law of physics, there's just never going to be the one that's going to accept me isn't going to be in the first five. It's going to be the 100th. It's always the 100th. I don't know why that is. I can say in a way that I'm helpless about whether my book gets picked up or not. That's helpless. But here's what I'm not helpless about. And this is why everything's fine. And it didn't used to be this way for me. I can't help whether the thing gets picked up or not. But I can do this. I can craft it to my standard. I can craft it to something that I'm proud of. I have the power to send it around. I can always put it out myself. I mean, when you come at this thing of like, okay, that everything's fine. Everything's fine here. Yes, that's happening. But everything is fine here because there's workarounds always. I mean, we feel trapped, like my client that I mentioned earlier, that you know, she can't lose weight and people are saying, you should be losing weight faster, blah, blah, and making her think that she's not losing weight and she's not succeeding. And yet this whole time, everything was fine. Everything was fine. She was losing weight. She is getting happier. She is taking control of her life. I mean, it's happening, but she can't see everything's fine because she hadn't had a moment to just freaking have a moment. And when she did, she saw it. Everything is fine, even in the most, you know, concrete way, which is 10 pounds of weight loss. Everything's fine. Not because she lost 10 pounds, but even in the most concrete way, everything is fine. She's feeling better about her life, and there's a actual thing like that to add into that whole picture of what's happening to her. Everything is fine here because, first of all, I wanted to, you know, just focus for a minute on all that's positive about each of us. Yes, the world in many ways is tough. But again, and I've mentioned this before, this ain't the first time. There's so much in the world to offer us if we choose to look at it, or if we get to the point where we can see those things that makes us happy, that truly does make us happy. I mean, that on the deeper level, the engaged level makes us happy, not momentary pleasure. And that's great too. But there's stuff in the world that allows us real pleasure. There's a stuff in the world that allows us a deep experience of life. An experience of life that is well beyond the minutes of pleasure that we get from a certain meal or from a movie. And again, not taking it away from you. But why everything is fine is because even as crazy as the world is right now, even as hard as it is for us to be healthy and happy and to find any semblance of balance in the world as it is today, we can. And I'm not trying to tell all of you, you can do it. That's not my bag. Here's how I'm going to say the same words, but in my way. You can do it. It's not magic, although it is magic. It's not do this simple thing and your whole life changes, but the process of becoming engaged in your life, how I would look at some things are in a sort of a magical way. It's when you engage in your life, when you take steps, and this is why everything is fine, because today you can start by adding something into your life in the minuscule, to quote that freaking awesome email, in a very minuscule way, things open up and you realize sometimes everything's actually fine. Yeah, I'm not the weight. I'm not at the weight that I'd like to be, but through this process, that's become way less important to me. I'm actually okay because I can actually enjoy life right now. I don't have to look down the road and go, once I get to the healthy weight, once I get to, not even healthy weight, because most people aren't programmed to think that way. We think a scale weight because that's what diets sell us. 21 pounds, they don't say healthy weight. They go, how much weight? They want a number. But we don't have to look down there and say, once I get to that point, I can be happy. Once I get to that point, everything will be fine. Everything's fine now. Everything's fine now because you can decide to make it that way because it actually already is. You just got to be able to take a minute in your life to see it. We got to have a little bit of time to see it. Stealing moments. You know, I talk about stealing moments. These are the moments. Those are the moments that you get. I talked about it earlier in this episode. The time that you get to think about the you, the real you, for 10 seconds, that's the everything is fine moment. That's like, yeah, I got it. You physically feel it. Tell me if you, when you have an action in your life that is 100% you, tell me that does not physically feel a certain way. I defy you to not tell me that. It does. When you are in a conversation and you say just the thing that you wanted to say, not later and go, God, I wish I'd said that, but you say it, does it not physically feel in your body like, ah, yeah, body's like, yeah, I got that. Done. It just all stars align. That's what you get when you small step your life. That's what you get when you engage in your life in this way. The stars align. You get to this point where it's in a way, it's effortless and everything is fine. So we separate ourselves from the things that make us believe that everything's not fine, a certain number on a scale, and we trade that stuff for actions today that are convincing us, because it's true, that everything is fine. And in this process, we're always becoming, we're growing, we're creating. It's this creative process. I'm going to end with something totally chaz, like super, super cheesy. And so I apologize in advance for this. I'm going to quote my own song. Damn it. It pains me to say that, but this is, I swear to God, it's relevant to this episode. Okay. I'm going to end this episode I'm going to play this song. But I wrote a line, and I'm not saying I wrote this line and it was awesome and I played it at a party and all these girls were totally, the line is freedom for free. It's freedom for free. And you can hear the song if you want to hear it. I'll play it at the end here. But I wanted to touch on that by ending this week's show with that line. That this process, essentially, everybody, I want you to understand this process of small stepping, it's freedom for free. It's liberating yourself from a world, again, designed to, in many ways, keep you unhealthy and unhappy. It's liberating yourself from the constraints of the thoughts that you've had about yourself when you form those thoughts again before it was even your choice, and that are in most ways in conflict with what you really truly think about yourself. You're liberating yourself from old behaviors. You're liberating yourself from old habits. And you're doing that by recognizing that any action you take is freedom for free. It's freedom in this moment. It's not, if I could only have 45 minutes to go to spin class, it's a squat. It's, if I could only have the willpower to eat healthy food all the time, it's a stalk of celery. And the stars align in those moments, and you start to see, you build that arsenal behavior that I talk about. You start to feel. You start to feel like everything is fine when the learned helplessness that's maybe governed a lot of our lives up until now starts to fade away. And that learned helplessness becomes unlearned. Why? Not because you have to convince yourself with words, but because you're showing yourself with action that everything's fine. That you do have a way out of all the things that you want a way out of, you have. And if you can just dial back a little bit of the expectations about how fast this should occur, what it should look like, and you can peel that stuff away, you realize that you kind of know already that it's impossible, and that if you engage in your life in this way, you're going to get there, and you're already getting there right when you do. Right when you engage, you're already getting there. You're already making it happen for yourself. Then that's why everything's fine. Everything is fine. Yes, I point out the things that are nutty nut nut because sometimes they're just freaking funny and I want you to look at things with a little bit of perspective. But the person that I want to look at these things with perspective is the real you. I'm speaking to the real you when I come here every week on this podcast. I'm not speaking to the not you. I'm speaking to the you. The not you is the diet person. The not you is the quick fix. The not you is the beating yourself up in your head. The not you is judgment about yourself, about how bad of a person you are. I'm not talking to that person. And you're not that person when you listen to this podcast, by the way, because you're not. You may listen to other podcasts that appeal to that side of you, but this thing ain't that thing. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the person who is in control of their lives, who understands that the process of undoing behaviors, it means adding in new behaviors and not focusing on what not to do, but what to do, because that's the focus is on you. I'm talking to the person who understands that you have the power and strength to make these things happen in your life, but that it takes time, as it should. Because short of that, you're not going to learn anything from this process. I'm not going to hand it to you. I wouldn't hand it to you if I could. Because I want you to learn from this process. I don't want you to lose weight. I want you to become healthier and happier. That's what I want for all of you. Okay? Everything's fine. All right. Thank you, everybody, for emailing me, those who did. And for donating to the podcast. Totally appreciate that, too. My email address is podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Throw me an iTunes review. You know the deal. Support, if you want to support the podcast, that's much appreciated from my end. All right, come see me in Portland, just a mere couple weeks away. In the meantime, I will be here next week with the Approaching the Natural podcast. All right, you guys, be well.
They don't.